On the show today, we have Kasasa Chief Innovation Officer John Wops talking about his latest book, Bankruption: How Community Banking Can Survive FinTech. So check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have a budding author in the mix, Mr. John Walsh from Kasasa. You're Kasasa's Chief Innovation Officer. Welcome to the show, sir.
That's right. Thank you very much. So excited to be here.
Yeah, good. I want to give your company a little bit of plug there, and also your book. It's called Bankruption. I love the title, Bankruption: How Community Banking Can Survive FinTech. So for those who haven't picked it up yet for the holidays, can you give us a quick kind of a high-level summary of what the book is all about here?
Sure, absolutely. So I've been fortunate enough to work with credit unions now for over 10 years, yeah. And specifically in the world of fintech. In addition, as kind of part of the innovation role, I work with a lot of fintech companies.
Okay.
So startups as well as fintech companies have been around for 30 years. And to be honest, there's been a lot of confusion that I've in the marketplace as I've talked to credit union CEOs and C-level management at credit unions, just as far as there's a lot of hyperbole that's out there about banking going away tomorrow and, how everything's being, unbundled and then offered through fintech companies, and then banking's being rebundled in different ways and then offered through fintech companies, and
yep.
Credit unions are merging every day and, all these types of things. And so the questions are at the strategic level for credit unions pretty profound. Is this – first of all, is this real?
Mm-hmm.
Is the world changing beneath our feet? If it is, how real? How bad is it going to be? And then, of course, the obvious questions of what can I do? What can our credit union do to help better serve our members,
mm-hmm.
attract new members, so that they don't leave us in
yeah.
the with this potential threat out there? So that's really what Bankruption is about.
Okay.
Bankruption is it's named Bankruption, but it covers both credit unions and community banks. It's what community institutions can do,
sure.
To prepare for this future. And so what we do is kind of dissect. Separate myth or fiction from reality as far
okay.
as what the threat really is. So is there really a threat, right? Let's start there first, because
with the disruptors, what everyone's talking about, the disruptors,
is there really a disruption? What's mm-hmm. what does that mean, and what could it mean in our ever-changing financial ecosystem? And so that's kind of the first early part of the book, talking about everything from branches to borders to the U.S. Postal Savings System, which was back I guess it ended in the 50s or so, to depopulation of communities and all sorts of stuff to really start to kind of ground ourselves and find out, okay, that's the history all the way up to the present. What have we seen? And then also, what have we seen overseas as well,
oh, yeah.
in regards to new charter development and what fintech companies are doing over there? And so we spend a decent chunk of time just kind of getting our sea legs. And then and recognizing that indeed a big shift has happened in the way that consumers or just the average Joe, I guess, has taken to, of course, new devices,
yeah.
New ways that they consume media, for instance, the thing that we're using right
yes,
now.
Yes, yeah.
and how that's changed expectation of consumers and delivery of content, delivery of accounts and services, and then spend the next part of the book talking about solutions, things that progressive institutions have used today, solutions that they've used today to really kind of attract and retain
mm-hmm.
new account holders.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do is I invite about, I think it's like 22 of my best friends in fintech. These are people who I call friends. They might not want to recognize me publicly. But it's great people, people such as Jim Maroos from the Financial and Jim Breeny, started Finovate and to that online banking report. Brett King, of course, is a name that a lot of people know. Ron Shevlin, a lot of analysts, as well as people who are, you know, real doers in fintech, as well as actual real life bankers. These are people like Jill Castilla over in Oklahoma. She's a CEO of Citizens Bank in Oklahoma, and then of course we have just a whole wide range of people. We have some on the credit union side as well. And so the idea is essentially get a rounded group of people together, very experienced thinkers and doers, and ask them a very important question, which is kind of the question of this book, which is, if you were in a C-level seat, so, you know, head of retail, chief information officer, CEO, CFO at community bank today or a credit union today, what would you do? What would you do? Not let's not think 20 years out where the world is, you know, everybody is just
totally different,
loving life and everything else and the whole world. But literally 2 years from now, what are you doing to plan 2 years out to ensure that your credit union is more effective in gaining, retaining members, you know, 2 years from now than it is today, right? Given the landscape change that's happening. And so all these wonderful people feed in just brilliant, brilliant thoughts and exploratory ideas, as well as stuff that just is working. And so that rounds out all the thinking in the book. And then the very end concludes with where I think we might be in 2030. And it's just a little visionary statement, but that's the book in a nutshell.
Okay.
And so the whole intent of it is to try to help guide the thinking and inspire thinking at the community institution level, specifically for credit unions today. You know, what can we do? Another one that I'd be remiss if I left out, Matt Davis over at, he was at Filene, now he's at Gamify. He's another.
Matt's a good guy.
Great person who wrote in for the book, and so many people helped form the thoughts and in this book, and I just really, really hope credit unions take it to heart.
Matt, it sounds like you covered the gamut here with this book. I mean, you interviewed a whole bunch of people and got their thoughts. It sounds like it's a question of relevance. You know, it's like, because I'm every conference I go to, at least on the credit union side, it's like, gosh, what can we do to stay relevant? You know, whether it's technology, attracting members, dealing with the whole regulation compliance, all that type of stuff. It's like, or even like you brought, you know, branches, for crying out loud. We've been talking about that for the last decade. So my question to you is like, why, and you kind of answered in there, why did you write this? Because I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of questions unanswered out there, especially for the frazzled chief innovation officer at a credit union, or the chief or any person in the C-suite, because technology is moving so fast, and there's so many what we've called, you know, disruptors out there, painstakingly. What do we do? You know, so is that kind of what you found, and that's the kind of the impetus of the book?
Yeah, you know, the reality is that that most credit unions today cannot afford to employ one or two or team or half a person to be in the thick of the changes of our environment today.
Yeah,
from everything from all the fun compliance stuff through, you know, delivery of our services and our new channel adoption, and, you know, what is the shift from multi-channel to omni-channel mean? You know, how does reputation factor in this thing? And we're used to delivering our products and services over a cup of coffee, or, you know, over the telephone or whatever. You know, how do we use new data sources to round out our decision making, perhaps over and above what traditional FICO has taught us or other risk tools. And so, you know, you there all this confluence of change and of ideas that's been sparked by, quite frankly, by a lot of these fintech startups over the last, you know, several years, has led to presentations and, you know, hey, you know, the board asking for, hey, I, you know, give us a presentation next month on, you know, what's happening in fintech and what are, you know, what should we do to combat it? And the reality is that most credit unions today can't afford the expertise or the people to actually go delve into all that stuff and then put it in, down on paper and analyze it and tell us, hey, here are the things that we can do that others have done effectively and that will work in the coming, you know, few years. And so that's really the impetus behind the book. Got is, you know, that with those who know me know that I guess I have a, I have a rather gruffness to me on occasion. And so there's probably a little bit of the, you know, as, let me put it this way, as much as I'm excited and passionate about credit union movement and community banking in general, I'm also a realist. And so in this book, you will find perhaps some bitter pills, some you know, perhaps tough things that maybe we have to swallow as a not only as an industry, but certainly at an institution level, you know, for, you know, are we kidding ourselves? You know, are we really committed to focus? Because the next few years are going to require actual focus.
Totally agree. Yeah.
From that more universal banking sort of methodology of, you know, we're here to serve everybody for every type of product or account, you know, imaginable, because quite frankly, the costs have become too high in that world. That world requires a lot more compliance and due diligence and partnership management and than we ever had before, and training and, you know, and, you know, and so, you know, so maybe it's, you know, thinking about how do we focus our products and services? How do we focus our target audience? You know, do we focus on just one specific target audience? Everybody loves to talk about Gen Y, but you know, you take a cue from some of the fintech companies out there, you see several out there today focusing on the boomers. Boomers are a phenomenal segment. You know, they, before Gen Y, they were the biggest segment, right? And they have a lot of needs, retirement needs and everything else. And so you see guys like United Income coming around and saying, you know what, that's going to be our target audience. We're going to build products and services specifically for that target. Cool. And we're going to become the best in the world at it, right? So, yeah, it's super exciting. It's a time of reinvention. For the fintech companies, it's a time of invention, right? But for traditional financial players such as credit unions, it is a time of reinvention. It's a time of change. And as long as we're excited about that change, and as long, if, you know, from the board to the chief, you know, whatever officer, down to you know, the front line, everyone must be excited at the institution about the changes that you're making and about the changes that are happening in the industry. The incumbents can be here to stay. It's just a matter of changing our thinking a little bit.
Indeed. And before the recording, we talked about those changes. You talked about changes to the traditional model and delivery and service, because we're talking about, you know, it's like, people keep looking a decade down the road when we should be looking at, you know, next week, because the changes are happening so rapidly now. What is your take on all that?
Well, you know, it's you know, there, so the if you were to look at fintech startups in particular as a as kind of the go-to in refining and redefining what service delivery means. You know, you look at just one of the original and the newer world of fintech, you know, Mint or Square, or look at those, you know, the guys who really kind of started the new age of fintech. And you know, Square essentially, you know, got rid of that long-term contract with the merchant, said, you know what, Let's find a new way to decision on whether or not they can actually process transactions. Let's find a new way to think about the pricing. Let's find a new way to deliver Square. And so, you know, you start to see Square pop up in hip and trendy spots like Apple Store back in the day and all that kind of stuff. And you know, that was not a way that merchant acquiring, you know, was sold traditionally, right? Mm-hmm. And so rethinking, you know, the service delivery from a standpoint of who do we want to attract? Who do we build this product for, right? What is the solution actually made for? Who is that target audience? And then how do they want to get this product or service? You know, and so that's where you see all this focus on user experience and, you know, come to pass is just, you know, it's so funny. Recently, I was chatting with a chief lending officer, and at a very, very large institution, at least in the community banking space, a large institution. And the chief lending officer told me, you know, we don't like to have mortgage applications online. We do that all in our branch because we like to sit down and have a cup of coffee with a person that we might give a loan to before. You know, and actually meet them. Mm-hmm. And this is not a conversation from 5 or 10 years ago. This is a conversation and not a conversation with a $20 million institution. This is a conversation with $1 billion+ institution.
Interesting.
Who is still thinking that service and delivery of products is on my terms. It's not on my terms. It's the consumer. It's the user's terms, right? It's thinking about their journey and the challenges that they might have in accomplishing either a different task, whether it's actually banking with you, getting an account with you. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, in the case of Square, dealing with, you know, merchant processing contracts and how confusing those were and how expensive they were. And hold on a second, I don't have 3 years of merchant history. I'm a brand new startup. Right. So what am I supposed to do, right? Yeah. And so, you know, or new ways in which people can use old services. So, you know, in that case, you know, the reality was people wanted to take credit cards at a garage sale, but you couldn't because you didn't want to pay $80 a month for three years.
Yeah, no doubt.
Volumes, and you only have a garage sale once a year. And so, you know, thinking about new ways that people might actually use your products and services, and actually talking to those people, and that's where the best ideas come from, right? Mm-hmm. And learning, oh wow, so there's a whole segment of users out here who want merchant processing, but in a different way than the way that we thought they wanted it. And so, you know, that's just one small example is the old Square example. But by thinking that through, you start to think about, you know, every account that you offer, every service that you offer, and you say, okay, who is this really for? I know the thing is called retiree checking, but do retirees actually use this thing? You know, when was the last time you really came in and said, hey, I'm retired now, I want a retirement checking account, right? I mean, it's, you know, do we really need to even offer that thing? Maybe that's the first question. The next one is then going to talk to that target audience who the products are for and saying, you know, do you use this thing? Do you use it the way that we think you use it? Mm-hmm. How would you prefer to use this thing? Mm-hmm. Well, I'd prefer if I don't have to come in to actually open the account. That really stunk.
Hello.
Well, I'd prefer if I don't have to, you know, go to your website that's not mobile optimized. If I didn't have to pinch and zoom, I'd prefer if I didn't have these fees every month and instead I did something else for you that made you money. Right. You know, whatever that data is, whatever that information is from that conversation, that's real information, oh, right? Wow. Those are users. Those are prospective users telling you how to reshape your business.
Yep. Yeah.
It's profound. Yeah. And so by bottling that up and by taking it and saying, wow, here's the audience that we actually want. Here's what we can do to actually serve them better and to make better products for them and find better ways to deliver to them. You know, then suddenly we can create a whole new world, which refines, service delivery from, you know, the way the FI wants it or the credit union wants it to the way the user actually wants it. product selection from, you know, everything to everyone to, you know, hey, what's that target that we're actually going after? Let's define that target audience. Let's figure out what products they need. Reputation from, you know, personal relationship selling to, you know, using brands like Apple Pay or, you know, I'll call out Kasasa to help you sell into an audience. Changing your infrastructure from local storage, like, you know, oh, we, you know, we're the best at maintaining our data and, you know, we're going to hire all these people and we're going to keep it all our data on site and we're going to run, you know, home banking through our home networks and all this stuff to cloud in AWS and the fact that, you know, looking at best practices from Capital One and Amex and NASDAQ and, you know, Federal Home Loan Bank of Chicago actually using AWS and it not being this foreign concept, oh, people can't travel to the moon. Yeah. So, you know, by looking at all of the new world that exists today and thinking about, you know, omni-channel delivery and what really does that mean and how has that changed expectation for people who shop at Walmart, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, who, by the way, probably happen to be a large number of your members, you know, by looking at all of these best practices, we suddenly start to formulate an entirely new institution in our brains.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not alienating our existing member base. It's about incorporating new methodologies that adapt to our existing member base and to the member base that we want to attract mm-hmm. for the future.
And keeping and so that, you relevant, yeah.
Yes.
That's keeping where relevance, you know, this idea of relevance and switching into relevance really comes into play mm-hmm. is, you know, you have to round out all of the different kind of strata of the institution, break it all down and say, you know, what's changed here? What's changed in regards to chartering? What's changed in regards to, you know, compliance? What's changed in regard to this stuff? And how can we, you know, use the best of breed for today? Because every single aspect of banking has changed. It allows us to be more efficient. Yep. It allows us to be more focused. And that's the future of banking. And you know what? Every credit union today can make that shift.
I concur. What are your goals for the book? What do you want to accomplish with this book? Is obviously to get that message out there, but what do you want readers to take away? What's your big goal here?
Change. That's it, right? Yeah. I mean, it's really, really simple. Mm-hmm. Just to inspire that change, have people make the change. It's like, you know, one of the things I just absolutely love is this idea of incremental change, right? You know, Alex Menes wrote this nice piece in the book, and he's a longtime banker, fintech thought leader, and you know, he wrote about change and about adaptability, and in particular in regards to, you know, the old world of waterfall style development, you know, coding to agile and how agile methodologies, you know, can trickle into every part of the organization.
Certainly.
Not just the engineering world, you know, where it's people with fingers on keyboards coding, but yeah. instead, you know, literally every part of the organization and how you can, by adopting to agile sort of methodologies, you start to feel better and better about making small incremental changes that may need to be rolled back, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Say, you know what, we're going to make small steps, test the waters, see how that goes. And if it doesn't go too well, guess what? We've already trained our team and it got them excited about the world of change. We've got them excited about the fact that, you know, mistakes are okay.
Fail they
are
fast.
The old fail fast sort of mentality. Mm-hmm. All of that gets bottled into a formula, a winning formula for your institution where, you know, start conditioning the, you know, your institution and even your members, mm-hmm. your members for, you know what, maybe there's a group of members out there who want to test things with you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be happy to trial things out. All of that is fair. And, you know, I talked about it in the book, all that's well and good. Just follow some of the best practices of some of the fintech companies that have come before you on that. Yeah, right. And make sure you're not necessarily testing new things out on unsuspecting members. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. That can lead to challenging.
That might go haywire on you. Yeah.
You know, each one of these things are really, really fun, really exciting, you know, worlds to explore, you know, the world of change and how we might be able to kind of wrap our brains around this at the credit union and get that proliferated throughout our institution and even to our member base. Mm-hmm. You know, what does that do? Well, that shows your member base that you are changing.
Yeah.
You are adapting with the world. Mm-hmm. And what's more exciting than that? And so, you know, that's what I hope comes from the book. Okay. is that we inspire leaders of credit unions today to start making these changes, to really understand that the world is not changing. It's not like in 5 years the world changed 5 years ago.
Of course.
Especially in regards to financial services and all of these things I'm talking about. Most of these things are years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing here is we're just taking best practices and bottling them up putting it into a book and saying, hey, you know, here's some stuff, right? Hopefully it inspires you.
Exactly. And to wrap up question here for you, John, there's a lot of people out there still holiday shopping like me. Where can we pick it up and give it to one of our friendly fintech peers?
There you go. You know, you kind of want to buy bankrupt. By the way, I got it right here. Bankruption.
Hey, there it is. Where can we pick it up?
Well, anywhere.
Amazon?
Yeah. Amazing financial books are sold. Which today probably means Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon's the easiest, right? You can. I've heard that it's in some local bookstores,
oh,
but
cool.
It's Amazon or just pop it up on your Kindle.
Okay.
You know, either way, sweet. And let me know what you think, please. That would be great.
Oh yeah, feedback's always important.
Yeah, reach out to me on Twitter. Of course, if you're, you can reach out to me at Kasasa, and if you're one of many of the credit union folks who I've talked to in the last 10 years, you probably have my mobile number. You can text me too.
We'll do that. All right, John, thank you so much, man. This is so cool. Congrats on the book, and let's get out there and sell a few for you. And it sounds like a pretty cool deal. And change, sometimes it's scary, but it's inevitable, so we got to roll with it. So good stuff, man. Good stuff. Keep up the good work. And hey, let's check back down the road again when you got number 2 book coming out. All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anytime.